passengers, this is gonna be probably one of the more depressing episodes of Car Ramblings. My name is Seth. For a long time, I have wanted to share my story of being groomed over the internet by an older man. I feel like talking about it in full, completely unfiltered, and uninterrupted would be important for my mental health, accepting what happened to me, acknowledging that it was fucked up, and also hopefully spreading awareness or making someone else who went through something similar feel less alone. That is my goal here with this podcast. I wanted to start with a brief trigger warning. This podcast has mentions of pedophilia, physical and emotional abuse, mental hospitals, self-harm, suicide, and very, very brief mentions of rape and molestation. If that is something that you can't or do not want to listen to, I totally understand if you skip parts or skip the entire podcast altogether. However, I would still greatly appreciate it if you listen to this in its entirety and maybe share it. You know, if there's someone you know that has gone through this, I would greatly appreciate it if you spread this around, because my goal is to help people and maybe educate some people on just how shitty this can be. Anyway, without further ado, my story. The year was 2011. I was in fifth grade, and I was 10 years old. I'd like to make sure I get this out of the way. I was identifying as female at the time. I'm a transgender man, so if I ever, like, misgender myself, it's because I'm referring to myself as a quote-unquote girl at the time. So, just so you know. Anyway, I also wanted to make sure I mention a friend I had when I was a kid. When I was young, I didn't have very many friends. I wasn't very popular. I only had two, maybe three people I considered my friend, and one of them was someone I will be referring to as M. M wasn't very nice to me. I might go into more detail in another podcast, I'm not sure, but she was basically very, very possessive, and she demanded all of my time. Like, she hated it if I ever spent time with anyone else besides her. If I skipped even one day seeing her or going to her house, she'd get very angry with me, and she would force me to participate in things that I didn't want to do. Like, I've never been very good at video games, I've never liked video games very much, and she would get very upset with me if I was poor at playing, or if I just didn't want to play. She really liked K-pop, I wasn't all that into it, you know, I liked rock, and she didn't like, you know, like, we didn't have much in common to begin with, and she was also very mean to me. She was also very physically abusive. I very vividly remember her just pounding the crap out of me, and that wasn't fun. Anyway, the reason why I bring this up is because over the years, I've processed it, and I've thought about what happened and the events leading up to my terrible grooming experience, and, you know, I'll never know for sure, because I can't go back in time, and there's no way I could possibly know for sure, but I think, to some degree, she is a teeny tiny little reason why this happened. I feel like if my support systems were better, and I feel like if she wasn't such a terrible friend to me, I genuinely believe that what happened to me would have either been delayed or never happened at all, because the kind of person I was as a kid, you know, I feel like I wouldn't have even bothered seeking the attention of strangers on the internet had I felt like I had a fulfilling, good, healthy relationship with my friends at that time. I'm not saying this is all our fault, clearly it's not, but it's just interesting to think, like, dang, if my real personal life had been different, especially with this person, who was a big reason why I felt like I didn't have very many friends, she, like I said, she demanded all my time, she wouldn't let me be friends with other people, I feel like this wouldn't have happened, or would have at least been delayed, or happened differently, had she had not been there. And that's just something I've never been able to say out loud. I've never said this to anybody. I've never been able to say this to anybody. And it just feels good to say it out loud, finally. Anyway, I also want to mention that it was very, very obvious to, well, not me, but to my mother. She said that it was very obvious that I had some anxiety and depression going on. I just hadn't been diagnosed for it, which means I wasn't treated either. She could tell, though. Very anxiety-ridden child. I displayed symptoms of depression and anxiety as a very young kid. So that might have played a part in it. I don't know. Maybe it just made it worse. I don't know. I just felt like that was important to include. Maybe I was so depressed because my friend was abusing me. I don't know. But anyway, yeah, that's basically the background. I just kind of wanted to let you know that, especially the abusive friend part. Anyway. So anyway, when I was a kid, especially around this time, I was really big into art and writing. It was my dream to be an author or an artist someday. And I really wanted to show the world what I created. So I started using a website. I won't be naming the website, but I feel like once I describe it, you'll know what I'm talking about. It was an art sharing website where you could post your art or your stories. You could also post journal entries and status updates. You could comment on other people's art and favorite it and save it. You could follow people. You could DM them, you know, stuff like that. And my account was tiny, you know, not a lot of people paid attention to it. I feel like only, like, 2 people ever interacted with my posts. And it was, one of them was a teenage girl, and the other one was this man, that I'll be introducing to you in just a second. I mostly posted drawings and the occasional fan fiction. I did write fan fiction for Invader Zim because I was cringy like that. I also wrote original stories, which probably weren't that great, and a lot of my art either resembled or was actual fan art of an online webcomic, and that was a big thing that he and I had in common. That's probably how he found my art. It was something that he was also interested in. And he found it, and he commented on it. I believe he said something like, "Oh, I like this comic too. Your drawing's really good. Wow." And, of course, you know, me being a little kid and, you know, wanting people to notice it, I was like, "Oh my god, thank you," and we ended up following each other, and he would favorite all my stuff, and I favorite all his stuff, and at first, he was just an innocent, you know, icon in my comments section, and then I don't remember how, but somehow it escalated to DMs, and I don't remember who initiated it. It was probably him, honestly. Anyway, so eventually I learned that his name was Martin, and he was from Texas. And right away, I asked him his age, and he told me he was 20, and he asked me, oh, so how old are you? And I said, I was 10. And he was like, oh, wow, I kind of imagined that you were like 17 or something like that. And I was like, no, I'm 10. And he was like, oh, wow, you're really good at typing, huh? Dang. Anyway, it was really innocent at first. And we just kind of started out talking about art and the stuff we had in common. You know, we both liked rock music. One of his favorite bands was Skillet. He's the reason why I don't listen to Skillet anymore. And eventually we got talking about, like, personal life stuff. Like, he told me about his siblings and the city he lives in, and I told him about school and a couple of my friends. It started out being really, really innocent, and I remember he was just, like, really sweet and polite and relatable, and if I ever asked him, like, questions on how to, like, deal with life, he would give me some, like, half-decent advice sometimes. That's another reason I was drawn to him, you know? Like, I actually felt like he was helping me. I told him about M, and, he would try to help me, like, fix it or figure out what to do, and since it was such a big, prominent problem, and he was actually kind of helping, like, that just made me, like, trust him, and that was probably his goal, huh? Anyway, he gave me, oh, fuck, he gave me plenty of attention, and he answered every time very quickly, and I liked that a lot, because he was the first person to ever make me feel like that, like, important, and, like, someone, like, really, really cared about me. I'm not saying that no one cared about me in my life. Like, obviously, I had my parents and my good friends, but, like, it was during a time where I felt like no one cared, you know? Like, I feel like I went through my edgy teenage phase, like, 5 years too early, you know, because that's just how I felt at the time. And my friendship situation was not really helping. Anyway, he was my first serious online friend. And I just want to reiterate, because you might have missed it, but right away I told him I was 10 years old. In no way could he have been under the impression that I was actually older than I actually was, because I told him I was 10. And he literally said, oh, I thought you were older, like 17 or something like that, based on how good I was at typing. The reason why I was so good at typing is because I loved to write, and I had a basic grasp of the English language. Anyway, again, he knew I was 10 years old. Anyway, I don't remember how long we were regularly talking. Like, it didn't start out daily right away. Like, it started out, like, every couple of days we might, like, message each other back and forth in DMs a couple of times. And then eventually it got to the point where we were talking to each other pretty much every day, if not every single day. And I don't remember how long we were talking to each other, but eventually he said something along the lines of, like, oh, I really shouldn't be talking to you. And I was like, what do you mean? Why not? And, oh, okay, this is sick. I don't remember it exactly, but I do remember him saying something along the lines of, it's wrong to talk to you because molesting kids is bad. I'm not kidding. He actually said that, and I didn't know what the word molesting meant. I didn't know. I was 10 years old. I didn't know what that word meant. And I asked him, what does molest mean? And he said, you know what? Don't worry about it. I'm just talking to you. It's fine. Don't worry about it. And so I just trusted him. I didn't Google it or anything. I just trusted him. Like, oh, okay. And I left it at that. Like, it's fucked up. I know. Like, he literally said molesting kids is bad. And I didn't know what that meant until months and months later. I didn't know what he was talking about. I didn't know. And fuck. Anyway, he confessed having feelings for me. That's probably why he brought up the fact that talking to me is probably a bad idea, but it's okay because we're only talking. And that's probably why he said that molesting kids is bad and illegal. And yeah, he basically said, don't worry about it. Anyway, yeah, my passage of time is kind of fucked up, but I don't know how long it took, but eventually he asked me if I would like to date him. And, obviously I was very uncomfortable with it, because I knew he was 20, and he knew I was 10, and I was a child. You know, when you're 10 years old, dating isn't really something you, you want to be doing when you're 10, especially over the internet with an adult man. Anyway, and I kind of, I don't know if I did a very good job of, showing how uncomfortable I was, but I shouldn't have had to, because I was a child. But, I kind of just went with it, you know? I didn't know what to do. Like, what am I supposed to do? What am I supposed to say? So I just kind of went with it. Wow, this is sick. Anyway. I don't know how much time passed, but I'm assuming not very much. But eventually it got to the point where, I don't remember how. I don't know if, like, he asked me or if I offered, but eventually I gave him my phone number. At the time, I had a teeny tiny, like, the reason why I had a cell phone at 10 years old anyway is because my parents worked weird hours, and they, I often was left home alone. I was a responsible kid. Like, they trusted me to not burn the house down, so they just gave me a cell phone and said, you know, make sure you answer, and if you need us, call. That's why I had a cell phone. It was a tiny pink BlackBerry Sprint, and it was my first ever cell phone, and I gave him that phone number. I don't remember if I offered, I don't remember if he asked for it. I just know that eventually he had my phone number, and because he had my phone number, and we could talk whenever we wanted, we did talk all the time. Eventually got to the point where we would talk for hours every single day until like 2 or 3 in the morning, and I was in school at the time. The time frame was like, oh geez, let's see. I think we started talking, I probably should have mentioned this earlier, but I think we started talking in like late 2011, so it might have been like November or December, something like that, around that time. So, anyway, yeah, that sounds about right. Several months, you know, not horribly long, but several months. Anyway, so, just winter. Anyway, it got to the point where we would talk to each other for hours every single day. And he would keep me up at night, and when I was at school, I would, I didn't tell anyone about this, but when I was at school, I would just constantly be thinking about him, and just, like, very eagerly waiting for when I could get on the bus and text him again, and it was sick. It was sick just how excited I was to talk to him every single day. Anyway, he would tell me a lot of stories, and I don't know if they were true. I don't know if he was telling me these things to, like, impress me. I don't, like, he was already trying to get romantic with a child, so, I don't think it's too out of the realm of possible that maybe he just didn't know that some of the stuff was just not appropriate to speak about with a child. I don't know. I'll probably never know. But anyway, he would often tell me stories about how he would get into fights, and he talked about getting shot and stabbed. He said that he lived in Texas, and he portrayed Texas as, like, this horrible, dangerous, gang-infested, you know, and maybe some parts of Texas are. Like, I'm sure every state has their, like, more bad parts, but I don't know. Like, he talked about it as if all of Texas was that way. He talked about how he tried to, like, kill himself once, and he said he died and then went to hell, and he spent, like, 12 minutes in hell or something like that, and then he came back to life. He was very Christian, I guess. Like, he was religious, I think. I could have made a joke, but I'm not going to. Anyway, I was kind of religious as a kid. Like, I wasn't, like, going to church or anything, but, like, because of, like, some family members, I was like, oh, yeah, I guess I believe in it. Because of him, I was convinced that hell existed, and it terrified me, you know? Anyway, yeah. Sorry, I have, like, a piece of paper. I have some talking points, so I don't forget things. Anyway, he told me once that I don't really have an order in which I'm talking about it. I just wrote it down in the best, like, chronological order I could, and I'm just going down the list of just fucked up shit. One time, he told me that he had a dream that someone else got me pregnant, and the guy abandoned me, and I was giving birth, and Martin was there in the hospital with me, and he said that as I was giving birth, I asked him to hold my hand, and he said that in the dream I broke his hand, and then he, like, helped me raise the kid, I guess, which is sick because I was a child, and he was talking about me getting pregnant and having a baby and giving birth to that baby. He mentioned sexual assault a lot, and he told me about one time he, like, was walking through his city, and down an alleyway he saw a woman who had just been assaulted, and he, like, put his jacket on her to cover her up, and then they, like, started dating, I guess. And then he was like, oh, but she cheated on me. And he talked a lot about how girls his age treated him like crap for being a nice guy. He was one of those people. He was like, I'm such a nice guy. Nice guys finish last. No one ever wants to date me because I'm such a nice guy. He's like, I'm so polite. How come women don't like me? Probably because you're trying to date a fucking child. But anyway, he would ask about my clothes a lot. It became, like, an almost daily occurrence where he would randomly ask me, what are you wearing? And me being a child, you know, I didn't really understand why he would ask me such a question, and so I would tell him, like, clothes. And then he'd be like, yeah, but, like, describe the clothes. Like, what color? Is it a shirt? Is it pants? You know, like, just be as specific as you possibly can. And I didn't understand it. And even today, I don't quite understand it, but I think I understand enough. And it sickens me. But I would describe to him every day what I was wearing, you know. Like, for example, I would say, oh, it's a gray shirt, and it's from the Goonies, and I'm wearing blue jeans, and I'm wearing socks, and at the time, I wore a lot of colorful, fun socks, and I remember I would send him pictures of my socks, because I was a child, and I was excited about showing my friend my colorful socks, because I was a child, and he liked that a lot, and it was sick just how much he enjoyed those pictures of my socks. Anyway, he never pressured me for pictures, at least, not that I remember off the top of my head, but he would strongly, like, I don't know how he'd do it, but, like, he somehow, some way, he got it into my head that I should send pictures to him. He would never, like, straight up ask, except for this one time, and it is burned into my head forever. I think he asked for pictures, and I was kind of sending him bullshit, you know, like, not very good ones, because I was 10, I was a child, and I didn't understand what he was talking about, and he asked me, and I quote, "Can you throw me a bone?" And I didn't really understand, so I asked him, "What do you mean by a bone?" And he said, "You know, like, something nice to look at, you know?" Very strongly suggesting. It's very hard to say it out loud, and I don't know what possessed me to do such a thing. Maybe it was him perverting my mind. I don't know. I have no explanation for it, but I asked him, "You want to see my swimming suit?" And he was very eager, let's just say that. And I sent him photos of myself wearing a swimming suit. It was a black one piece with a pair of shorts. So it wasn't very revealing, if anything. It just kind of looked like a black tank top. But the implication is still there. And I guess looking back on it, I was starting to kind of understand, like, the sick bullshit he wanted. And I just wanted to make him happy, I guess. Even if I didn't quite understand it, and it felt weird, but because I trusted him, I didn't really question it all that much. I don't know. I'm not gonna lie. I kind of had to, like, talk to some friends about this. Like, I feel like this was a choice, and they had to, like, tell me, "No, you were a kid. Like, you just wanted to make him happy. Like, this isn't your fault. Like, none of this is your fault. He was the one who encouraged it." Even if he didn't outright ask for your swimming suit pictures, he was still pushing it. And even if I can't remember exactly what he said, and even if I can't remember exactly how it came about, like, this is the best I remember it. Like, maybe it's muddy, maybe it's murky, maybe I'm missing crucial stuff. It wouldn't surprise me if I blocked some of this out. Basically, what I'm trying to say is I was feeling like, what if some of this was my fault? And I have to keep telling myself that I was a child, and that's probably why I keep repeating it. It's because I was a child. I couldn't have known or understood any of this. Anyway, I have a note here that says, he never sent any pictures of himself, ever. Like, it was very rare. Like, okay, it's not that he never did. It was very rare when he ever sent photos of himself. I don't know why. I didn't really ask him for photos. Probably because I was a child. And I didn't really care about photos. Anyway, we talked on the phone a couple of times. The first time we talked, it didn't last very long. He didn't really talk. I did most of the talking. And I remember him texting me afterwards saying, "I'm sorry I didn't really say anything." He said he was speechless by how beautiful my voice was. And then he compared it to the voice of his younger sibling, who was 8 at the time. I feel like right now it's important to mention that his younger sibling, who was 8 at the time, had the same dead name as me. Like, she was a girl. I was identifying as one at the time, and he knew my dead name, and he said that his younger sibling had the same dead name as me, and it kind of weirded me out how often he would compare me to his younger sibling. Anyway, after we talked on the phone, he asked me if I would sing for him, and I said that I was too shy and I didn't really want to do it, and I don't know why, but he suddenly became very, very adamant about hearing me sing, and it escalated more and more where he was just like, "Please, please," and I said, "No, I'm really not comfortable with that. I don't want to." And he threatened to kill himself if I didn't sing for him. And of course, I was very distressed and I was begging him not to. And he sent me a picture of himself holding a gun in his mouth. And that image is probably going to be burned in my head for the rest of my life because it was so disturbing and it scared me, it terrified me, and the sick part is this isn't the first time he did bullshit like that, but sorry, this wasn't the only time he did bullshit like that. This was the first. And I was sobbing and crying. And he apologized and said he was sorry. He said it was a joke, but he took it too far. And then he said, "You don't have to sing for me if you don't want to." And for some reason, I forgave him. For some reason, after that horrible, disgusting thing, I forgave him. He also, besides that picture, he also sent me pictures of knives and swords and weapons. He apparently collected weapons of all different types. And he sent me pictures of them. And some of those pictures I kept on my phone. He also told me that he had fantasies about me. He told me that he fantasized about buying me things, buying me a ring. One fantasy he told me about that I remember pretty vividly. He told me that he fantasized about us in, like, a living room with a fireplace. And we were sitting on the couch, and he said that he was kissing my hand up my arm to my shoulder, to my neck, and then passionately kissing me on the mouth. I was a child. And he was fantasizing about doing that to a child. And he was telling the child he was fantasizing about that. And I read that as a child. And now it's burned into my head years later. Like I mentioned earlier, I wasn't too comfortable with the idea of calling him my boyfriend, and I wasn't very comfortable with him calling me his girlfriend either. And I think by this point I was making it pretty obvious, whereas at first I was probably just, you know, like, oh yeah, just going with it. But I do know that it got to the point where I was just kind of like, yeah, sure, mm-hmm, whenever he would bring it up. Anyway, so he decided on Valentine's Day, so it's February. We had been talking for at least 2, maybe 3 months at this point. It was Valentine's night. I remember it was a school night, and I don't know why, but I was using the Wii in the living room to communicate with him. Maybe my phone was charging down upstairs, I don't know, but I was sitting in the living room on Valentine's night, and we were talking late at night on a school night, and I was using the internet function on the Wii. Sorry, I feel like I'm talking in circles. Basically, we were talking late at night, and randomly, he says, oh my god, my brother is in the hospital right now because his brother was supposedly sexually harassing a woman at a bar or a party or something, and she shot him in the stomach, apparently, and he was in the hospital because of the gunshot wound. And he started saying things like, if my brother dies tonight, I don't think I could keep going. What if my brother dies? And just, like, freaking out. And me, a child, I'm 10 years old, and I'm desperately trying to make this grown man feel better about his brother being shot in the stomach. And he said that if his brother dies, he couldn't keep going, and then he randomly decided, you know what, I'm just gonna kill myself now because I can't go on without my brother. And I started begging him not to. I started saying that, you know, what if his brother recovers? What if his brother's fine? Like, I think you should just calm down. And he started counting down. He would send message after message, and each message only had a single number. He started counting down from 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, and between each message, I'm just screaming at him, Martin, Martin, no, don't, stop. And then the last message he sent was, bang. I cried, and I was scared. I didn't know what to do. I was lonely in my living room. The lights were all turned off. And I was sitting alone, holding a Wii remote in my hand, sobbing because I thought my friend had just shot himself. And then he didn't answer for about 10 minutes. So after about 10 minutes of sobbing, he came back. He doesn't even address what he just did. I don't remember exactly what happened. I don't know if anything else happened between Bang and this next part. He might have been like, hey, it's okay, it's okay. And then I think that's probably what happened. And then he got my attention. And then, he asked me, now will you be my girlfriend? And I said yes. And even back then, I was very confused as to why he would do something like that. Like, your brother's been shot, I thought you just shot yourself, and you're choosing now to ask me to be your girlfriend. And, you know, being a child, I didn't understand, but looking back on it 9 years later, I think all of it was a lie. He didn't really mention his brother after that, so that's another reason why I think that was just a complete lie. I think that was his way of trying to guilt me into being his girlfriend, I guess. This is the end of my notes on this portion. I wrote down that I honestly can't remember much else besides these bigger parts. I don't remember what we talked about on the average day. I don't remember how we managed to talk so much without, like, getting bored. I honestly have no idea. I remember he was there when my guinea pig died. My first ever guinea pig death was to my guinea pig named Bugsy. He was there for that. I remember she was, like, sick and dying, and I was sitting on the floor of the kitchen, and he was texting me and saying it was gonna be okay, and he told me about this guinea pig he had named Giggles, and he said that he let her, like, crawl around on the floor, and then one day he, like, fell asleep while she was crawling around on the floor, and then he woke up and got off of his bed, and he said he stepped on her and broke every bone in her body, and, that was disturbing. I don't know why he would say that to a child. And I told him that was awful. And he said, well, it was an accident. And he said he cried and he felt terrible. What else can I think of? I remember one time I was menstruating and I was having bad cramps. And I told him about it, and he told me about one time he was out to dinner with his girlfriend, and apparently she, like, started getting it in the middle of dinner, and she had, like, really bad cramps, and he told me that, like, it felt, like, nice to be there for me as I was suffering through, I don't know, it was weird, I don't know, it's, that's also burned in my head. Another thing that I just now remembered as I'm talking, he told me about this girlfriend that he supposedly had while he and I were talking. So it's hilarious how he was trying to convince me to be his girlfriend while he apparently had this other chick that he was talking to. Thankfully, she was of age, I think. Like, he sent me a picture of her, and she looked like she was in her early 20s, so that's good. I said she was really pretty, and he also told me one time that he was babysitting. Wow, that's terrifying. I remember he sent me a picture of the kid he was babysitting. It was a little boy. He was probably about my age, to be honest. And, he was sleeping. And he sent me a picture of him while he was sleeping. Wow, that's horrifying. I'm thinking about that right now. I hope that kid's okay. Hope his sister's okay. Hope that sister he talked about all the time is okay. But let's be honest, they're probably not. I mean, holy fuck. I think I'm gonna end this segment here. I'm sorry. Alright, I'm not gonna lie. I took a break for a couple hours. So, eventually, I did end up getting discovered by my mother. She did find out. I was talking to Martin. How it happened was my mother asked to borrow my phone. And I was smart. I thought I was smart. I told him what was happening, and I deleted his contact information, and I deleted all of our texts, and I deleted my history. You know, I just wiped it clean, right? But I didn't delete the pictures he had sent me, because I did not expect my mother to look at my photos, because why would she have any reason to do that, right? She told me she was just going to borrow my phone. To this day, I have no idea what her intention was. For all I know, she was completely planning on snooping. Anyway, that's what she did. She looked through my photos, and like I said earlier, he frequently sent me pictures of weapons and swords and knives, you know, the stuff he collected, right? I believe there's only one picture with his face, I think? Or maybe there wasn't, because like I said, he didn't really send pictures of himself, and I wasn't really interested in pictures of him, and so it's likely I didn't have a picture of him. I don't remember, but she was looking through the pictures, and she asked me, who are these from? Where did these come from? Who's sending you these? And I tried to lie and just kind of play it off, but obviously that didn't work, and I ended up telling her and spilling the beans, and all hell kind of broke loose after that. Some bits and pieces are gone, and I don't remember, but the next thing I remember is her pulling me into her bedroom, and she told me to stay put. She turned on the TV, and she said, stay here, watch the TV, do not move. And then she took my siblings to the neighbor's house, and she, you know, I obviously wasn't there, but I'm assuming she asked him to watch them. And before she left, she told me that she was gonna go buy some cigarettes. She said, stay here, stay put, watch TV, don't do anything. Obviously, I wasn't just gonna stay put. I didn't know this at the time, but she wasn't buying cigarettes. She was actually going to the police. Anyway, I was scared. I knew that I'd get into huge trouble, or at least I thought I would be getting into huge trouble. And I knew that he would definitely get into huge trouble. and I was scared, and I left her bedroom, and I went to the kitchen, and I wrote a note, basically a suicide note, and, I'm not comfortable saying what it said, but I hid it. No, I didn't. What did I do? I had it sitting there next to me, I think, on the floor. I was on the floor for some reason. And the plan was to slit my wrists. But I was a child, and I didn't understand. I don't know why, but I got it into my head that I would have to figure out how hard I'd have to press in order to break the skin enough to slit my wrists. I also couldn't fathom, like, how in the world do you even correctly slit your wrists? I was planning on doing it the short way instead of the up the arm way, you know what I'm saying? Anyway, for some reason, I got it into my head that I had to, like, practice and figure out just how deep I had to go. And so I started sawing into my arm, like, the top. It's kind of hard to describe it, but, like, it's like the opposite side of your wrist, the top of your arm, where most of your arm hair is. I ended up, like, cutting all over the place, all up and down my arm. And, you know, it didn't really look like it, but my intention was to die that night. And I remember hearing my mother's footsteps coming back into the house, and I I wrote the note on a notebook, and I kicked it underneath the bed, and she found me, and, she saw me, and she screamed, and she asked me, "Why would you cut yourself?" And then she grabbed my arm and yanked me outside. I don't remember where the knife went. She grabbed me and yanked me outside to the front lawn. We have concrete stairs that lead from the sidewalk up to her house. And she made me sit down. I didn't have shoes on or anything. I was in my socks. And a couple seconds later, a police car came up. I was scared, obviously, because there was a police car, and, I don't remember, like, I don't know if they put me in the back or what, but somehow I ended up at the police station, and, my arm had cuts all over it, and I remember they asked me, who was talking to you, where did you meet him? They asked me to just tell us everything you know about him. I knew quite a bit. I knew his first and last name. I knew approximately, I don't think I knew the exact city, but I knew how far away he was from, like, San Antonio or something, because he said his older sister, lived there. I knew the names of his siblings. I knew how many he had. And then they asked me to give them my username and password to my account. And later on, when all was said and done, way months later, my mom told me that She took my journal. I used to write in a journal, and she took it, and she gave it to them as evidence after reading the whole thing. And to this day, I have trouble keeping a journal because I'm scared that someone will read it. Because while I know that she was only trying to, like, get evidence against this man, it still shattered my trust. And like I said, to this day, I can't journal anymore, even though I know that journaling has a lot of benefits, especially for people with depression. Anyway, I'm pretty sure that's how it happened. A lot of it is blurry. It happened really fast. I'm pretty sure I was at the police station first. And after interviewing me, they said that I should probably get my arm cleaned up. So I was taken to the hospital. I don't know how I got there. I was taken to the ER. And I remember, I don't remember much. I just remember, sitting there and my arm being cleaned and being wrapped up, and this older nurse lady came in, and she asked me if I wanted anything, if I needed anything, and I don't know what was wrong with me, but I said I wanted to know if Martin was okay. I wanted to know if Martin was gonna be okay. And she said, "I don't care about him, I want to know what you want." And I said, "That is what I want, I want to know if Martin's okay." And for some reason she got mad at me, and I don't know why. And for some reason, recalling that makes me very emotional. I guess it's partly because of how cruel she was to me, because she was incredibly rude. And another part of it just showed how brainwashed I was. And it's a little embarrassing admitting that, but I guess I was, huh? Anyway, once I was cleaned up, and my arm was wrapped up in gauze, there's a lot more I don't remember. The next thing I know, the very next thing I can possibly remember is being strapped up into, I think it's called a gurney. It's the little bed with wheels that are in ambulances. I was being strapped into that. And my mom was explaining to me that I was going to be taken somewhere. And she said that she was going to pack me a bag. And it was happening so fast, and I didn't understand what was happening. Sorry. The last thing I remember before the ambulance left was seeing my mom's face, and I just remember being so scared, and I don't know if I'm remembering it wrong. I don't know if it's my imagination, but I remembered, like, reaching out to her, and I think she was crying, and I was crying, and the ambulance people told, there's two people there, I think, in the back of the ambulance. I don't know why I was taken by ambulance, to be honest. Seems a little extravagant to me, but whatever. I think it was a woman, I think, and she told me to just try to fall asleep. We'll be there in a couple hours, and I didn't know where I was going. No one told me where I was going. I don't remember the ride hardly at all. I just remember it was dark. The lights weren't on, and the siren wasn't on. They were just driving, and eventually I did fall asleep, I think. I don't really remember. And eventually we arrived to this really big building, It was a mental hospital in South Dakota. I forgot to mention it before, but I actually live in Minnesota. So they drove me to Sioux Falls to a mental hospital, which is a few hours away from where I live. And when I got there, it was really late at night, and I remember they took me to a room, and they told me to take out my earrings. I was wearing studs at the time, and they said that I wasn't allowed to wear them. And they took them. They said that I wasn't allowed to wear my socks. I had to wear socks that they gave me. I wasn't allowed to have shoes either, and that really bothered me because I've never liked being barefoot. I've never liked being without shoes. I don't know why, I just hated it, always have. So that bothered me. And then they told me, they handed me a gown, and they pulled out a curtain, and they said, stand behind this curtain, take off all of your clothes, except for your underwear, and put on this gown. And then, I don't know what they did, I can't remember, but I think they took all my clothes, I think, or maybe they didn't, I don't know. They're doing something, and then they gave me my clothes back, I think, and then they took me to this room. There was, a big wide open space with all these doors, and they took me to one of those doors, and there was a bed, a closet, a desk, and my own bathroom. And they told me I was going to sleep there tonight, and so I did, but I was scared, and I don't think I slept very well. I don't really remember, to be honest, and the next day, I woke up. I was woken up by someone, I don't remember. I don't think I was allowed to close the door, and I think the light kept me up, and when I finally did fall asleep, I was woken up by someone, and I was taken to a dining room, kinda, I think. It's really blurry, but the next thing I remember is sitting at a table, and there's this girl, I think my bandages were taken off at that point, or maybe what I'm remembering was days later, I don't know. At some point, the gauze was taken off my arm, and the cuts were exposed, and they were pretty nasty looking, and this girl, I think, you know, normally I wouldn't say names, but this happened years ago, and these people, this was years ago, and these people aren't in my life anymore, so I'm just gonna say their names. Her name was Emily, and I'm pretty sure it was her that asked why I had so many cuts on my arm, and she asked me where they came from, and before I could answer or say anything, one of the staff members said that we're not allowed to talk about that stuff. That stuff is private, don't talk about it. But that didn't stop us from talking about it when they weren't listening. I briefly explained what happened the best I could. I didn't even really know how to explain it to her, and she said, I understand. And then she told me that her dad hits her sometimes, and that's why she's there. And she said she had anger problems. And it was at that point that I understood where I was. Kinda. It kind of showed me the kind of people I was living with for that moment of time. I can't remember much about my average day there. I was there for a week, I think. and I can't remember what our day-to-day schedule was. I know it was very structured. I know they tried to make it kind of like school. Like, there was a school portion and a recess portion and, like, meal times. Like, we all ate together like you would in school. There were activities, kind of, that kind of thing. I just can't remember the specifics. I remember the layout of the building pretty well. I mean, the part of the building that I was living in, anyway. I remember we had to, like, earn our recess, I think. Like, you had to, like, collect these tokens, I think. I don't know. It was some weird reward system that if you, like, did your schoolwork, and if you were on good behavior, and if you participated in the activities, you got, like, tokens or whatever, and that gave you, like, recess time, I think. And I remember one time I said that my arm was hurting, and I just wanted to go lay down, and I remember one of the staff ladies saying that, okay, but if you go lay down, you might not earn your token, and I just remember being like, yeah, I don't care. I want to go lay down. Like, I didn't care. Like, I was scared and lost, and I had no idea where the fuck I was, and I didn't care. And in front of my desk in my room, there was a window, a really big window, from the desk all the way to the ceiling, and it had huge blinds. And the view from the window was flat ground, and in the distance you could see the highway. It was the middle of winter, so there was a lot of snow on the ground. I remember I used to sit by the window, like on the desk. I'd sit on the desk by the window, and I would just stare out the window for probably hours, you know, whenever I had free time, basically. And I would just imagine being one of the cars driving by, wishing I wasn't there. They started experimenting with medication with me. They determined that I was diagnosed with severe depression, and they started trying out medicine with me. I think it was, I don't remember what it was, a little blue pill, and they started giving it to me. And they would, like, watch me take it. Like, they made sure I would take it. They would, like, look in my mouth. And I didn't like that. I remember I wanted to draw. And I asked one of the secretary ladies, because in the big open space you had all your doors with all the bedrooms, and then if you were standing at my door and you would walk straight ahead, there were these desks, and they had phones, and there were like secretary ladies there. And one day I asked the secretary lady if I could have a piece of paper and a pencil, and she gave them to me, and I sat in my room. And I would draw on these little, tiny, square pieces of paper. I would just fill them up. And I, sometimes, when I would return the pencil to her, and a different lady was working, sometimes the different lady wouldn't give me a pencil. It was that same lady every time. And so I started hiding the pencil. And the pencil was found by a janitor, I'm assuming, and they told me that I wasn't allowed to have pencils in my room anymore. If I was going to draw, I had to be during, like, recess time or school time or whatever. And I very vividly remember asking, I think it was my mother, like, I vividly remember what was said. I don't remember who said it, but I'm pretty sure it was my mother. And I was talking to her on the phone because we could talk to our parents on the phone if they called us. I asked her why I wasn't allowed to have a pencil in my room. And she said, and I quote, "It's probably because, it's probably so you don't poke your eyes out with it." And I don't know why, but that stuck with me through all these years. My dad also called me while I was there. I don't remember what that conversation was like, though. I'm trying really hard to remember. I think he said something like, "I hope you're okay," or something to that effect. My best friend called me too. Not M, she wasn't able to, but my other best friend, who I'm still friends with to this day. My mom told his mother what happened to me, but his mother didn't tell him. Obviously, we were just little kids at the time, so she probably didn't feel like it was appropriate to repeat all of that to him, because he probably wouldn't have understood. So I understand why she wouldn't tell him all that. She told him that I was sick, like, physically ill sick, and when I came back, he told me that he thought that I had, like, cancer or something. So that kind of sucks. He probably thought I was dying. Luckily, I wasn't dying. Anyway. I only remembered this recently. Like, it was kind of buried in my head for a while. There was this lady, she was a janitor. I can't remember her name, and I can't remember her face, but I can remember her voice. And she used to come into my room to clean it, like, really early in the morning, like, probably, like, 5 in the morning or 6 or something like that. And when she would open my door, I would wake up, and she would be, like, replacing the towels and stuff. I think the first time she was in there and I saw her, I didn't say anything because I was scared. But then I kept on seeing her, and I said something. And she's like, "Oh, I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to wake you up. I was trying to be quiet." And I don't know why, and I don't know how, but at one point, she ended up sitting... I'm sorry. At one point, she ended up sitting on my bed. And I remember her talking to me, and I don't really remember what she said, and I'm really sad that I can't, because I remember it helped me a lot, and it made me feel better, and it made me feel less scared. She was a really nice lady, and wherever she is, I hope she's happy and okay. And I don't know, I just really appreciate her talking to me and making me feel better. Because I was a scared little kid who didn't know what the fuck was happening to me. And I didn't not yet understand the horrible, disgusting thing that had just been done to me. She was really nice. And I felt really bad not remembering her. It wasn't until just a couple weeks ago that I remembered her. I remember I was I was still deciding whether or not to make this podcast, and it was late at night, and I was trying to fall asleep, and my mind was kind of drifting, and I was starting to fall asleep. I was in that weird, like, in-between phase where you're kind of dozing off, but you're not quite completely asleep. And I don't know why, I don't know how, but suddenly it just slammed, and I just remembered her, and I literally jolted awake. It felt like electricity was racing through my body, and I woke up, and I started hyperventilating because it all came rushing back in really scary flashbacks, and I just remembered her, and I hope she's okay, and I hope that even though I never got the chance to tell her, I hope she knows that she helped me a lot. When I was there, I think that hospital was the first time I was ever exposed to disturbed children. Like, when I was younger, I kind of just assumed that every child was, like, happy and taken care of. The concept of, like, severe child abuse wasn't really a thing that I was aware of yet. Unfortunately, I had witnessed child abuse because my best friend's mother is rather abusive, but I mean, like, severe child abuse and also, like, mental illness in children. Like, I think this was my first time witnessing, like, severe autism in a child, because my brother wasn't that old yet. My brother has autism. Anyway, I guess what I'm trying to say is there was this kid, his name was Logan, and he scared the crap out of me. I remember when he got irritated or he didn't get his way, he would attack staff. He would scream. Oh, he screamed. He would throw fits and throw things. He would slam his door. He would kick the wall. And it was miserable. It was awful. And it scared the shit out of me. I was scared of him. I was scared to go anywhere near him. I was scared to look at him. I refused to talk to him. I wanted nothing to do with him. I was terrified. I remember one time we were sitting in the dining room, and I don't know what his problem was, but he started yelling at a staff member, and she had, like, a bowl with salad, and he, like, grabbed it and threw it or something, and he screamed at her, and he stomped out of the room, and I asked her. Like, she barely reacted. Like, she just kind of sat there while he screamed. And when he stomped off, I asked her, how do you, like, not react to that? How are you not scared? And she said she was used to it. And I don't know why, but that stuck with me for years. I don't know. There really isn't much else besides this one last person I wanted to talk about. His name was Sean. And much like this janitor lady I mentioned earlier, he helped me a lot too. But I did remember him. I've always remembered him. And I think about him kind of a lot. I was 10. I believe he was 8, I think. So he was really young. And I don't know why he was there. He never told me why. And I'm kind of glad I didn't know why. Because I feel like it would have been heartbreaking. But anyway, Sean was this little kid. And he was really nice. And really sweet. And polite. And I don't know why. But he could never remember my name. He always had to ask what my name was because he could never remember it. And every time he had to ask, he would apologize and I'd say it was okay. It's okay. He was so unbelievably sweet. And unfortunately, I can't remember much about him other than that. He asked me if he could be my friend, and I said yes. I'm glad he was there because he made me feel like a kid, if that makes sense. He made me feel more like a kid instead of a prisoner in that place. Like I said, I don't remember much about him, except, I remember when the week was over, and I was allowed to go home, and I found out that I was allowed to go home, I was so happy, I literally skipped over to my room, and I started packing, and, it was during free time, so everyone was in their rooms. His door was open, and he was just two doors away from mine. I walked up to his door, and I said, "Sean, I'm going home." And he was really happy for me. And he said, "I'm sorry, what was your name again?" And I told him, and he smiled, and he said, "That's a really pretty name." And I said, "Thank you." And I said goodbye. And I went home. And I hope that wherever that little boy is, I hope he's okay. I really, really hope he's okay. He was there before I was there. And he was not gone when I left. I hope he wasn't there for too long. Maybe it's stupid, but like, I really do think about him a lot. And for a long time, I worried about him. I wish there was some way that I could make sure that he was okay. Make sure that he turned out all right. Because he really was a really, really sweet boy. I don't really remember much after that. I think I remember walking out of the hospital. I'm not sure, though. My mom was the one who picked me up. I don't really remember, to be honest. I'm sorry. It's really blurry. But, yeah, that's the hospital portion. All of this hospital stuff happened, I believe, in like mid to late March. So I hadn't quite turned 11 yet, and it was still the middle of the school year. Because I was gone for a whole week, people did notice that I was gone, and when I returned, I got bullied for what happened to me. I'm not gonna feel bad for saying the names of these people because they hurt me really bad, and honestly, I couldn't care less if I make them look bad because what they did was deplorable. There was this girl in my class named Julia. And I didn't really have a problem with her. Like, I knew that she was, like, a trouble child, but I didn't have anything personally against her until she did this. She pretended to be worried about me and asked me what happened. Why was I gone for a week? And I told her. I didn't go into very much detail. I just gave a brief overview. And she took that and she spread it and spread rumors that I had had sex with this man and that I got pregnant with his baby. There were other kids too who bullied me because of this. Their names were Colton, Jeffrey, and Logan. It was a different Logan than the one I mentioned before. I think there were other kids, but those three are the ones that I remember for sure. Especially Logan. They would walk past me in the hallway or the classroom, and when they were right next to me, they would say Martin's name. And every time they did it, it sent me into extreme distress. I would get flashbacks, and they did this to me for at least 2 more years. I remember the first day of 7th grade running to my best friend's mother and telling her that Logan had said Martin's name, and I was very distressed, and she basically told me to just man up and deal with it, which didn't help. Being bullied like this, I think, in some ways damaged me and traumatized me more than the actual event did. And the reason why I say that is because, it took me a long time to realize that what Martin was doing to me was bad. And it took me even longer to realize that just how bad it was. But when I was being bullied by these kids, from the get-go, I knew what they were doing was malicious. I knew what they were doing was to hurt me on purpose. I knew that they were enjoying me suffering for whatever reason. And being bullied like that by Julia, Colton, Jeffrey, and Logan forced me to relive the most traumatic event of my life day after day for years. I was scared to come to school for years because of them. What they did to me halted my healing process. It brought it to a screeching halt. And it kept me from growing and healing for years. It took me so long to bounce back and be okay because of what they did to me. Their bullying got to the point where they made me scared to talk to new people who weren't there when this happened to me. One of my friends came in 7th grade. She came to school in 7th grade. And when we were first starting to get to know each other, I sat her down and I told her, hey, there's some kids that might spread some rumors about me, and I just wanted to let you know that those aren't true. And I told her what happened. And I told her what they said about me, and I told her what Logan was doing to me. Logan was the one who lasted the longest. Like, when the other ones had finally stopped, he kept on going. And, her telling me that that what happened to me doesn't change how she feels about me, I think that was the first time I was finally going the right direction. And I didn't remember or think about that until very recently when I was writing this. And if she hears this, she knows who she is, and I just wanted to say thank you. It took me a long time to realize it, but you really did help me. If by some miracle the universe makes it so that these 4 people who hurt me hear this, I just want to say that you are all deplorable, disgusting people. I don't care that you were kids. I don't care if you didn't understand what you were doing. I don't care whatever stupid excuse you could possibly give me. What you did to me was unforgivable. Logan especially. Logan also bullied my best friend, and I remember in senior year that, because I witnessed it, Logan actually apologized to Dennis for treating him like shit all those years. But he never apologized to me. The worst part about all of this is, out of these four people, I can almost guarantee that none of them probably remember what they did to me. And I find that that is such a privilege to cause someone so much pain and force them to relive the most traumatic event of their life over and over again for years. You are so lucky to be able to just forget about that and never think about it ever again, because I do not have that option. If there is a hell, I hope you rot in it, because you are disgusting. For a long time after this, I did have nightmares, and once I finally fully processed what had happened to me, I became very angry. And I regretfully say that I did attempt to contact him several times after that. And I don't mean, like, immediately. I mean, like, years had gone by. I think the last time I spoke to him was when I was about 13 or 14 years old. I don't want to go into that because it's not relevant, but I'd say that it is one of the most, but also least, regrettable things I've ever done, because at least talking to him gave me a tiny bit of closure in some twisted, disgusting way. As I got older, the flashbacks became less frequent, but for a long time, even after Logan and the others stopped torturing me, the name Martin still did trigger me. Names such as Martin Luther King were very unpleasant because they're common and people talk about them a lot, and I had to just pretend that everything was fine. To this day, if I think about it too much, especially lately with writing it and talking about it out loud for hours at a time, I will admit that it has and does still trigger me. Mentions of grooming and online predators do still make me uncomfortable, although I'm proud to say that with every passing day, I can feel myself not being as bothered by it, and I consider that growth, I consider that healing, and I'm proud of that. The last thing I wanted to say was, for a long time, I depraved myself of having any online friends. I refused to talk to anybody over the internet, unless it was just commenting on like a YouTube video or something. And it wasn't until very recently that I met my friend Maddie, and Maddie is pretty much the opposite of me. You know, where I had a ton of in real life friends, Maddie had the majority of her friends were online, and she helped me realize that not everyone on the internet is going to try to hurt you, and she gave me the strength and showed me that it's okay to trust some of the people on the internet, and it's thanks to her that I've opened up and I have made dozens of online friends who are really cool, and I trust them, and I'm very, very happy to have them in my life. Some of them helped me with the making of this very important podcast, and you know who you are, and I thank you very much. You're all great, and I love you. So, I guess I just want to end this part by saying thank you all for your support, and just thank you. If you've made it this far into my story, I greatly appreciate it. Thank you so much for listening. I wanted to end this by saying, if you know someone who is vulnerable and young and might be talking to someone on the internet, or God forbid, someone in real life, please, 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 if you think something is up, please do not stand by. If you can, please interfere, because I would hate to have this happen to anybody else. I consider myself lucky because this person lived hundreds and hundreds of miles away from me. He couldn't hurt me in real life, but I am well aware that some people do end up getting physically hurt by these disgusting predators. And once again, please, if you know someone who might be vulnerable to this, even if it causes rifts in your relationship, even if it pisses them off, even if you have to fight with them, you know, at least you'll know that hopefully you're keeping them safe. Anyway, that's my story. Thanks again for listening, and I'm gonna try and talk about something a little bit less depressing next week. Goodbye, friends.